Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from ImmuNutrition here in Madison. Good to see you again, Amber.
Great to see you, too.
Well, we've got an informational program here today, something a little bit different, a couple of different topics we're going to cover today. But one is, say there's been some information out there lately in the press and things of kind of that nutritionists and dietitians are anti-diet or some such thing. Tell us about that. What's that all about?
Yeah, so people may or may not have seen this article come out. I got a big alert on it on my phone and then had several people link it to me about how I think the title of the article was, "As Obesity Rates Rise, Food Industry and Dietitians Post Anti-Diet Rhetoric or Anti-Diet Advice." And I will tell you that most dietitians don't like to be lumped into the same category as the food industry. So there's that piece of it. But I think it's really important for us to have a conversation about what does anti-diet mean? So when we talk about anti-diet, we're not talking about anti-healthful eating, right? We're talking about anti-vilifying foods, and we're talking about categorizing things as good versus bad so that people feel guilty when they eat it. And same thing, when we talk about health at every size or when that kind of a thing gets pushed out, it's not saying everyone is healthy regardless of their size. It's saying size is not the indicator of health. And I think a really good example of that, I think most people know I'm in the military as well. And this last weekend was drill weekend, and we have this really fun new machine that does bioelectrical impedance analysis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got one of those in the back room.
Yeah, something you're very familiar with. You've probably got enough parts in the back room to build one.
I do.
So what this machine does is it's essentially a body composition analyzer, and it's one way of measuring body fat, hydration, all of those kinds of things. It's not a perfect method. There's a lot of ways that BIA or body bioelectrical impedance analysis, BIA, there's a lot of ways that can be manipulated by drinking more water, drinking less water, certain things you do beforehand. But it's one of the best tools that we have that can make it accessible to people. So we did this bioelectrical impedance analysis with this machine with several members of the unit, people who are thin and who are passing the height and weight standards, and people who are heavy and are not passing. And weight was not a good indicator of somebody's body fat percentage. And one of the things that we see in the research is people who are thin but live an unhealthy lifestyle. So people who are thin but maybe drink a lot of sugar sweetened beverages or hate vegetables or don't get enough protein, whatever that might be, compared to somebody who is maybe overweight or slightly into the obese category but is active and eats pretty well, may have very different levels of fat, especially something called visceral fat. Have you heard of visceral fat before?
I can't say I can tell you what it is, no.
No, so visceral fat is a type of fat that's mostly correlated with higher risk for a lot of our chronic diseases in the long run. And it's a lot of the fat that kind of builds up around our organs. And that's one of the reasons it does increase our risk for other chronic diseases. So we had some very thin people who had some very high visceral fat percentages. So as we kind of think about this anti-diet rhetoric, this health at every size, all of these kind of promotions that were kind of attacked in the article, I think it's really important to remember that trying to get people out of feeling guilty about eating certain things or getting people out of restriction as a method of gaining health isn't about saying don't eat fruits and vegetables or don't eat healthy fat or don't worry about protein. It's about saying if we get all of those things, if you're getting good amounts of protein, if you're eating lots of vegetables, if you're drinking water, having a brownie isn't catastrophic. You shouldn't feel bad about having a brownie. You shouldn't feel bad about having a piece of birthday cake. You shouldn't feel bad about going to the movie, supporting local and having some candy, right?
And popcorn.
And some popcorn.
And a beverage.
And a beverage. There we go.
Maybe one or two.
Maybe even just a bottle of water.
That too.
That too. Mm-hmm. Yes. Lots of options. It's not about not having those things. It's about having those things as part of a really balanced diet. Now, the food industry and I agree on a lot of things, not particularly. They do a really good job of marketing toward people who are in vulnerable situations, toward children who actually have a pretty big influence on the household grocery purchasing. If you've ever seen me at the grocery store with Archer, you are well aware of that here in town.
He likes everything.
He is highly motivated to choose colorful things. Yeah. Yes.
Throws it all in the cart, right?
He does. And we have to negotiate what stays and what goes. But I think it is really important that, as we are saying no to things, we're being educational about it. And it's not a bad food. We just don't have a need for it right now because we have these other things. So when we look at those types of articles that say anti-diet is bad and that we're not supporting health, just remember, it's not about not eating well. It's about allowing different things into your diet and having an overall healthy lifestyle, which is easier, maybe easier said than done sometimes. But the one thing when we talk about this that I would say is worth really trying to reduce in our diet, even as we're talking about room for everything, and there is, one of the things that is really most important for us to try to limit on a day-to-day basis is those sugar-sweetened beverages. Once in a while, perfectly fine. No harm in having a pop or a coffee drink or whatever it might be once in a while. But every single day starts to increase our risk for a lot of things. So those sugar-sweetened beverages are highly associated with that visceral fat that we were talking about. So excess sugar gets stored in our body in not helpful ways, and it creates a lot of other things like increased inflammation, stress on our body and stress on our cells, insulin resistance, which leads to type 2 diabetes, gut dysbiosis, which we've talked about a lot,
yep.
Or an imbalance in those healthy gut bacteria. And one of the reasons that sugary beverages frequently or frequent intake of sugary beverages is so much more problematic than food is that, one, it's liquid. So when it goes in, it's, you're not chewing anything. It just goes straight into your body, gets processed through very quickly, has a bigger impact on blood sugar, gets stored more quickly. There's just nothing to break down when it comes to it. It also typically doesn't contain any protein, fat, or fiber to slow down the absorption. So those sugar sweetened beverages are going to be more problematic even usually than our sugar sweetened foods. But sugar is coming in a lot of places.
Not good for your teeth either.
It's also not good for your teeth. Yeah.
I understand, especially like truck drivers who will sip on a pop over a long period of time, just keeping that constant flow of sugary beverage over your teeth and, has
exactly.
a tendency to cause real problems, even as opposed to if you're drinking it all in a hurry, at least you're slamming it down and
that's just it.
Bypassing your molars. So
absolutely, yeah, that's just it. If you're drinking it quickly from a dental standpoint, it's probably going to be better than sipping on it all day and then opening a new one as soon as it's gone. And switching to those artificially sweetened ones doesn't solve all of the problems. A little better from a dental perspective, maybe. But even when we talk about artificially sweetened beverages, those are also associated with an increase in that visceral fat in our body. They don't improve some of the things that come along with pop intake, like phosphorus, which we see in a lot of different kinds of pop, competes with calcium. So it can leach calcium out of our bones and weaken bones in the long run. Doesn't necessarily correlate with very significant weight reduction. On average, about 0.5 to 1 kilogram, which is about 1 to 2 pounds. And it goes away as soon as the change goes away. So the more we can just drink water, tea, black coffee, a little bit of natural juice if you need that sweetened kind of sweet beverage. But even juice, our goal for children and adults is to limit juices to about 4 to 6 ounces per day. So if there's one thing you can reduce in your diet, if we can just pull back on sugar-sweetened beverages, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
All right. Well, you covered a lot of ground there today.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. So hopefully somebody took something from it.
So if anybody has any questions on this or any other topic regarding nutrition, you'd be more than happy to help them out.
Always. Yes. And you can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com or on Facebook at MU Nutrition or call here to the station, and you guys can put people in touch with me.
We'll find you.
You'll find me.
All right. Thanks, Amber. We'll see you again for another Taco Tuesday next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.